Welcome to Zichu Daf Sin Mani. My name is Avram Goldar, and today we're Zecher Shabbos Daf Kuf Yud. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara on Kuf Tes Amud Beis taught that one bitten by a snake should obtain an embryo of a white donkey, tear it open, and place it on the bite. This works provided that the donkey was not a trefa. So on this daf, an incident is brought of a Jewish officer of the king that was bitten by a snake, and 13 white donkeys were brought to heal him, but they were all found to be trefas. And then there was a 14th donkey that they found, and while they were bringing it to him, it was eaten by a lion. So Abai suggested that perhaps a snake of the rabbis bit him, for which there's no cure. As it says in the Pasuk reports, God there yishkenu nachash, and he who breaches the fence, the words of the sages, will be bitten by a snake, meaning that maybe he transgressed something that the sages said, and due to that, he didn't merit to find a cure. Abai was told that, in fact, this officer violated Rav Yitzchak Bar Bisna's decree, which forbade, for 1 year after the death of Rav, bringing myrtle branches and palm branches together with bells to weddings, which bring joy to the chasan and kala. Point number two, the Gemara presents several solutions to situations when a man or a woman is threatened by a snake. If one, for example, is being pursued by a snake, one should run in sand. Rashi explains that snakes cannot move swiftly in sand, and therefore it will eventually turn back. And point number three, after bringing numerous remedies for a zava, the Gemara lists several cures for one suffering from jaundice. It questions the validity of a certain elixir for jaundice since it will result in sterility, and the Torah explicitly forbids castration. So the Gemara answers that the prohibition only applies when one intends to damage the reproductive organs directly. In drinking the elixir, the sterilization occurs indirectly. And to support this assertion, the Gemara brings a teaching from Yochanan that one who wants to castrate a rooster should remove its crest, and it becomes castrated on its own accord. But the Gemara deflects this proof based on Rav Ashi, who taught that a rooster's pride is its crest. And Rashi explains that when the crest is removed, the rooster mourns its loss and refrains from copulation, but is not actually castrated. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the Gemara on Kuf Tes Amud Beis taught that one bitten by a snake should obtain an embryo of a white donkey, tear it open, and place it on the bite. And this works provided that the donkey was not a trefa. So on this topic, an incident is brought of a Jewish officer of the king that was bitten by a snake, and 13 white donkeys were brought to heal him, but they were all found to be trefos. There was a 14th donkey that they found, and while they were bringing it to him, it was eaten by a lion. Abai suggested perhaps a snake of the rabbis bit him, for which there is no cure. As it says in the Pasuk, reports God there yishkenu nachash, and he who breaches the fence of the words of the sages will be bitten by a snake, meaning that maybe he transgressed something the sages said, and due to that, he didn't merit to find a cure. And Abai was told that, in fact, this officer violated Rav Yitzchak Bar Bisna's decree, which forbade for 1 year after the death of Rav, bringing myrtle branches and palm branches together with bells to weddings, which bring joy to the chasan and kala. And point number two, the Gemara presents several solutions to situations when a man or a woman is threatened by a snake. If one, for example, is being pursued by a snake, one should run in sand. And Rashi explains that snakes cannot move swiftly in sand, and therefore it will eventually turn back. And point number three, after bringing numerous remedies for a zava, the Gemara lists several cures for one suffering from jaundice. It questions the validity of a certain elixir for jaundice since it will result in sterility, and the Torah explicitly forbids castration. And the Gemara answers that the prohibition only applies when one intends to damage the reproductive organs directly. In drinking the elixir, the sterilization occurs indirectly. To support this assertion, the Gemara brings a teaching from Yochanan that one who wants to castrate a rooster should remove its crest, and it becomes castrated on its own accord. But the Gemara deflects this proof based on Rav Ashi, who taught that a rooster's pride is its crest. And Rashi explains that when the crest is removed, the rooster mourns its loss and refrains from copulation, but it is not actually castrated. All right, so now we go to a sim for Kuf Yud, and we had a lot of suggestions around keys, piano keys, bronze keys, sailor's keys, jailer's keys. Jed Zatzel from Philadelphia suggested someone singing off-key, a keynote speaker, a locksmith, and other words as well, like kiwi. But we're going to go with keys. But we're going to go with the gold key ceremony, which a lot of people suggested the award, you know, the gold key to the city. And some people suggested the mayor presenting this award. So we're going to go with the gold key ceremony as the simon for Kuf Yud. So thank you everybody for your suggestions. And here goes. When the mayor got bitten by the snake at the gold key ceremony, everybody rushed around looking for a white donkey. And all they could find was a tired out snake in the sand and a depressed rooster that no longer had a crest. Once again, in slow motion. When the mayor got bitten by the snake at the gold key ceremony, that must mean Ron Duff, Kuf Yud. When the mayor got bitten by the snake at the gold key ceremony, everybody rushed around looking for a white donkey, which reminds us, the Gemara on Kuf Tes Amud Beis taught that one bitten by a snake should obtain an embryo of a white donkey, tear it open, and place it on the bite. This works provided the donkey was not a trefa. So on this stuff, an incident is brought of a Jewish officer of the king that was bitten by a snake, and 13 white donkeys were brought to heal him, but they were all found to be trefos. There was a 14th donkey that they found, and while they were bringing it to him, it was eaten by a lion. So Abai suggested that perhaps a snake of the rabbis bit him, for which there is no cure, as it says in the pasuk, "Poros gadu yishkenu nachash," and he who breaches the fence of the words of the sage will be bitten by a snake, meaning that maybe he transgressed something the sage has said, and due to that, he did not merit to find a cure. Abai was told that, in fact, this officer violated Rav Yitzchak Bar Bissin's decree, which forbade, for 1 year after the death of Rav, bringing myrtle branches and palm branches together with bells to weddings, which bring joy to the chasen and kala. So when the mayor got bitten by the snake at the gold key ceremony, everybody rushed around looking for a white donkey. And all they could find was a tired-out snake in the sand, which reminds us, the Gemara presents several solutions to situations when a man or a woman is threatened by a snake. If one, for example, is being pursued by a snake, one should run in sand. Rashi explains that snakes cannot move swiftly in sand, and therefore, it will eventually turn back. So when the mayor got bitten by the snake at the gold key ceremony, everybody rushed around looking for a white donkey, and all they could find was a tired-out snake in the sand and a depressed rooster that no longer had a crest. Which reminds us that to bring numerous remedies for Azava, the Gemara lists several cures for one suffering from jaundice. It questions the validity of a certain elixir for jaundice since it will result in sterility, and the Torah explicitly forbids castration. The Gemara answers that the prohibition only applies when one intends to damage the reproductive organs directly. In drinking the elixir, the sterilization occurs indirectly. To support this assertion, the Gemara brings a teaching of Rabbi Yochanan that one who wants to castrate a rooster should remove its crest, and it becomes castrated on its own accord. But the Gemara deflects this proof based on Rav Ashi, who taught that a rooster's pride is its crest, and Rashi explains that when the crest is removed, the rooster mourns its loss and refrains from copulation, but it isn't actually castrated. So once again, when the mayor got bitten by the snake at the gold key ceremony, everybody rushed around looking for a white donkey, and all they could find was a tired-out snake in the sand and a depressed rooster that no longer had a crest. All right, now it's time for four blah blah chazara. Daf kufav. So the simple kufav is a cov, is a tight walker walking on a thin line, a thin cov. So here goes. The tightrope walker, that means run daf kufav. The tightrope walker holding fire was nervous about falling and wounding or burning the spectators below. Which reminds us, Rabbi Abbo taught a brace that states, Kol makalkling beturin chutz mechovu umavir. All who act destructively are putter, except for one who wounds a person or burns something. The Gemara points out that this contradicts our mission that states, all inclusively, Kol makalkling beturin. All who act destructively are putter. The Gemara answers that the brace is going according to Rabbi Shimon, who holds that a person's chai for wounding and burning even when those acts are purely destructive. His source for wounding is based on the fact that Torah permits bris mila on Shabbos, which implies that for ordinary wounding, one is liable. His source for burning is that the Torah prohibits burning a bas kohen who committed adultery on Shabbos, which implies that ordinary burning makes one liable. So the tightrope walker holding fire was nervous about falling and wounding or burning the spectators below that were watching next to an enclosure of trapped deer, which reminds us that the next mission the Perek introduces the Machlokas Tanaim regarding the Malach of trapping. Rav Yehuda says one is chai v'chatzis for trapping a bird by driving it into a closet or deer by driving it into a house. The Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yehuda regarding the deer and say that it's also considered trapping if one drove it into a garden, courtyard, or enclosures, which are bevarim. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that not all enclosures are the same and introduces the following rule. Mechusar tzeda patur she'ena mechusar tzeda chayev. If the animal still lacks trapping, meaning that it's still difficult to take hold of, then one is patur. If it doesn't lack further trapping, then one is chayev. So the tightrope walker holding fire was nervous about falling and wounding or burning the spectators below. We're watching next to an enclosure of trapped deer, many of them sick, lame, and old. Which reminds us, Abai asked Rabbi Yosef to clarify the difference between two cases in a brisa, where it was stated that one who traps a blind or sleeping deer is chayev, where one who traps a lame, old, or sick deer is putter. Rabbi Yosef replied that blind and sleeping deer are prone to slip away when they sense a person is there, whereas the lame, old, sick deer do not. Rav Sheshes further clarifies that another brisa stated that one is chayev for trapping a sick deer, was referring to a deer sick with fever that can run away, therefore by catching it, one is trapping the animal. However, the braisa that states that one is putter was referring to a deer sick with fatigue, which is not able to run away, and therefore it's considered as if it's already trapped. Daf kuf zayin. So the symbol kuf zayin is couscous. So here goes. The person eating couscous, that must mean run daf kuf zayin. The person eating couscous, who was overjoyed when he found out he was completely exempt from lancing his boil, which reminds us, Shmuel said, Kupaturi de Shabbos patra wa aser? Labar Mahani Tlas, any place where the halacha states pater, It means that one is not liable midoraisa, however, it is still forbidden midorabbanan, except for the following three cases where the word pater means pater even midorabbanan. If one person sat in a doorway and blocked it completely, trapping an animal, and then a second person came and sat down beside him, even though the first person got up and went away and the doorway is now being blocked by the second person, the first person is liable and the second person is completely pater. The second case is Hamapis Morsim B'Shabbos. If one punctures a boil to remove the pus, he is pater. Rashi explains that he's not liable midoraisa since nothing has been rectified, and no derabbanan was enacted in this case either because the person is in pain. And the third case is one who traps a snake on Shabbos so that it will not bite him is pater. Tosfos on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph explains that the case where the snake bite is not life-threatening. If it was, then it would be permitted to kill it on a deraisa level. So the person eating couscous, who was overjoyed when he found out he was completely exempt from lancing his boil, lost his appetite when a bruised sheretz got trapped in his bowl. Which reminds us, the opening mission of the 14th Perek states that one who traps or bruises one of the eight sheretzim that are mentioned in the Torah is chayev. One is not chayev for bruising all other shkatzim or ramasim, all other vermin and crawling things, since they do not have hides, as Rashi explains. But one is chayev for trapping them. This is provided he needs them for some positive reason, like an ingredient for medicine. Rashi explains that the reason one is chayev for trapping these eight shratzim is that they are typically hunted. He provides two possible reasons why bruising them is forbidden. Bruising is either a tolda of shechita, since one is taking the life from that part of the animal, or it's the malach of tzoveh of dying, since the animal's skin is discolored by the bruise. So the person eating couscous, who was overjoyed when he found out he was completely exempt from lancing his boil, lost his appetite when a bruised sheretz got trapped in his bowl and killed a louse. Which reminds us, Rav Yossi explained the machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanan whether one is chai for killing a louse on Shabbos is based on their understanding of the rams whose hides were used for the construction of the Mishkan. Rabbi Eliezer learns that just as killing the rams involved the taking of a life, so too the prohibition applies to anything whose killing involves the taking of a life, which would include a louse. The Rabbanan hold that just as rams reproduce, so too the prohibition applies to anything that reproduces. Therefore, one is not liable for killing lice since they do not reproduce. Rashi on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph says that they grow spontaneously from a person's skin, and the Aruch HaShulchan explains that they do reproduce, but since their eggs are too small to be seen by the naked eye, they are regarded as halachically non-existent. Taf Kuf Ches. So the symbol for Kuf Ches is a pickpocket. So here goes. The pickpocket. Pickpocket, that must mean we're on Daf Kuf Ches. The pickpocket stole the chicken skin from the Tulemacher's jacket, which reminds us, Ravuna said that one may write tefillin on the hide of a kosher bird. Rav Yosef asks, what's the novelty of this ruling? It can't be to teach you that birds have a hide, as we already know that based on a Mishnah earlier that teaches that one who bruises beasts and birds is chayev. So Abai said to Rav Yosef, Rav Huna is teaching a great deal, for we would have thought the hide of a kosher bird is not valid for tefillin, since a bird's hide is full of holes. And Rashi explains that the hide is holes, since it's perforated by its feathers. Abai explains that the holes are not problematic, because as they say in Eretz Yisrael, a hole which ink passes over and doesn't sink into is not considered a hole to render the parchment unfit to be used for tefillin. So the pickpocket stole the chicken skin from the tefillinmacher's jacket while he was distracted at the Sudas Bris, which reminds us, when Rav arrived in Bavel, Shmuel told Karna to test Rav. Karna asked Rav three questions, the third one being, where is it derived that Bris Mila is performed on that place, referring to the male member? Rav responded that it's learned from Gezer Shavah from the Parsha of Orla, where it states, Orla so, it's blockage. Just as orla refers to something that produces fruit, so too bris mila, which is the word orla so, refers to something that produces fruit. The Gemara notes that there's an identical malchokas among the time Reb Oshia brings this gezer shava, whereas Rabbi Nassan states the gezer shava is not necessary. According to Rabbi Nassan, the proof comes from the pasuk va'orl zachar asher yimolas barasar orla so, a blocked male, the flesh of his blockage, is not circumcised. This teaches that circumcision is performed on the place of the body where the difference between the male gender and the female gender are recognizable. So the pickpocket stole the chicken skin from the Tulemacher's jacket while he was distracted at the Sudas Bris, dipping his bread in salt water. Which reminds us, the next mission of the Perek deals with the Derabbanan making salt water on Shabbos. The Tanakhama says that one may not prepare brine, heal me, but one may prepare salt water for dipping bread or adding to cooked food, meaning one may make a small amount. So Biosi challenges the Tanakhama, since brine should have the same halacha regardless of the quantity. He therefore states that making salt water is permissible if one adds oil to the water or to the salt before he mixes the water and salt together. And Rashi explains that mixing the oil in first weakens the mixture of salt and water, even though it also weakens the mixture if it's poured in afterwards. Doing so is forbidden, because putting the salt and water in first resembles the malacha of ma'abed, of tanning. Daf Kuf Tes. So the symbol for Kuf Tes is Hatsala, like with the medical kit. So here goes. When Hatzalah, Hatzalah, that means we're on Daf Kuftes with our medical kit. So when Hatzalah got a call from someone who didn't wash their hands three times in the morning, which reminds us, a brice at the bottom of Kufches on the base listed parts of the body, such as the eyes, nose, and ears, that should not be touched in the morning before washing one's hands, because a spirit called Bas Melech rests on the hands and causes harm. In a brice on this stuff, Rabbi Nassan said, Bas Horn Hizo, Makpedes Ad Shiyuchas Yadav Gimel Pamim. This spirit is a free agent and insists on remaining until one washes his hands three times. Rabbeinu Hananel explains that it commands respect among the other ruchos, the other spirits, like a free man among people. So when Hatzal got a call from someone who didn't wash their hands three times in the morning, and subsequently had a donkey step on top of their foot, the team took out some vinegar from their kit, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a teaching from Mar Ukva, who said that one who injured his hand or foot should not hesitate to reduce his swan with wine on Shabbos, because wine is not an effective treatment. The Gemara then relates that Rav Hillel told Rav Ashi that he learned in the Academy of Kahana that it is forbidden to use vinegar because it is an effective treatment. Subsequently, Ravina once visited Rav Ashi in his home and saw that a donkey had stepped on Rav Ashi's foot and that Rav Ashi was using vinegar to reduce its swelling. When Rav Ashi asked Rav Ashi if he doesn't agree with Rav Hillel that using vinegar is prohibited, Rav Ashi responded that gav hayad v'gav haregel sha'ani, a wound on the back of the hand or on top of the foot is different, meaning it's more dangerous and can be life-threatening. Rashi explains, therefore one can be Machal Shabbos in this case. So when Hatzal got a call from someone who didn't wash their hands three times in the morning and subsequently had a donkey step on their foot, the team took out some vinegar from their kit and told them to bathe in the Yom HaGadol. Which reminds, the Gemara brings conflicting brises, with one stating that it's permitted to bathe in the Yom HaGadol on Shabbos for therapeutic reasons, and the other stating that it's forbidden to do so. After two possible resolutions are rejected, the Gemara answers that the brice that permits bathing in the Yom HaGadol was referring to its fine waters, its good waters. Rashi explains that people would wash in those waters even during the week, not for therapeutic reasons. Therefore, it wouldn't be recognizable that one is doing so for a cure. The brice that prohibits bathing in the Yom HaGadol was referring to its foul parts, where it would be clear to others that one's intent is for healing purposes and not merely for bathing. All right, now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions, plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Number 1. Which stuff do we know that one can use chicken skin for tefillin? That's on Daf Kufches. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do we have a question whether one can bathe in the Yom HaGadol on Shabbos for therapeutic reasons? That's on Daf Kuftes. Good. Number 3. Which stuff do we have a machokas regarding killing a louse on Shabbos? That's on Daf Kufzayin. Good. Number 4. Which stuff do we learn about the severity of being poritz geder, not listening to the decree of Rabbanan? That's on Daf Kufyut. Good. Number 5. Which stuff do we learn about the proper response for the loss of good or wise people? That's on Daf Kufhei. Great. Number 6. Which stuff do we discuss making salt water on Shabbos? That's on Daf Kufches. Good. Number 7. Which stuff do we learn that one should escape from a snake by running in the sand to tire it out? That's on Daf Kufyut. Good. Number 8. Which stuff do we learn the source for bris milah being on the male member? That's on Daf Kufches. Good. Number 9. Which stuff do we discuss using vinegar to heal a hand or foot? That's on Daf Kuftes. Good. And finally, question number 10. Which stuff do we learn about the three times when one is completely putter? That's on Daf Kuvzayin. Good. Now the 3 bonus questions of Maseches Brachos. Number 1. Which stuff do we learn about the 5 things which were 1/60th of something else? That's on Daf Nunzayin. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do we learn about brachos made on Nisim? That's on Daf Nundalad. Good. And finally, question number 3. Which stuff do we learn that the bracha rishon is based on Svora? That's on Daf Amen. Hey, excellent. All right, that concludes our pop quiz, plus the 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldberg from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.